Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday we focused on the call of Samuel to become God's prophet. In particular, we were encouraged to answer God's call in our own lives with the words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This response is not only a commitment to listen to what God has to say, but then to do what he asks. It's a commitment to obey him. But neither listening to God nor obeying him is always easy. So today I want to reflect on how our attitude towards God helps us to obey him, using the Old Testament reading from Jonah chapter 3 as a focus. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, O Rock, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The book of Jonah is a rather ironic look at what happens when humans do or don't obey God. You may know that Jonah was a prophet in Israel during the reign of Jeroboam. He was sent by God to declare a message to the enemy of Israel, Assyria, in one of their greatest cities, Nineveh. A message which declared their wickedness in God's sight. But instead of obeying God, Jonah tried to run away from his task. Instead of traveling east by land to Nineveh, he boarded a ship traveling west to Tarshish, which is probably in modern-day Spain. Jonah literally tried to get to the end of the world to flee from God. But God's plans are not so easily derailed. God sent a storm to stop the ship, and Jonah realized that he was the cause. He told the sailors to throw him overboard to end the storm. They did, and it worked. Throwing Jonah overboard saved the ship. But that wasn't the end of Jonah, was it? God sent a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and after 3 days and nights in its belly, it threw him back up onto dry land. That's where today's reading starts. God told Jonah, again, to go to Nineveh, and this time he obeyed. He delivered his message, and, amazingly, it worked. The people of Nineveh repented of their evil, their wickedness, and God forgave them. The irony here is that Jonah was unhappy with his successful mission. At the start of the next chapter, Jonah chapter 4, we read, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" Rather than being happy that his word saved 120,000 people from punishment for their sins, Jonah was upset that God was merciful. Some prophet he was. Jonah demonstrated that while he eventually obeyed God, his heart really wasn't in it. He eventually did the right thing, but his attitude was still wrong. Because Jonah was such a reluctant prophet, Christians sometimes use him as an example of how we should not be towards God and his commandments. For example, I know a number of pastors who have admitted that they were like Jonah before entering the ministry. They had a sense of call to become a pastor, but they ignored it. They ran away from their call, sometimes for years, until eventually God used circumstances in their lives to draw them to the seminary. Of course, this type of experience is not limited to prophets or pastors. All Christians would do well to ask themselves, am I a Jonah? Am I being obedient to God's will for my life, or am I running away from him and what he expects of me? Jonah experiences can happen, for example, in our relationships. We know that we have a responsibility towards another person in our life, but we fail to act on it because we prefer to have things our way. Rather than serving the other and their needs, we refuse to act sacrificially, expecting our needs to be met instead. Or we might be Jonahs in respect to service in the church. We might be asked to assist in some area, for example, but we refuse out of laziness or selfishness. Or we might be Jonahs in the area of sharing our faith. We might fail to reach out to non-Christians because we're afraid of rejection or failure. Or worse, we're like Jonah, where we're afraid to reach out to others because they might actually repent, and we don't believe they deserve that. These are all examples of wrong action. But even if our actions are perfect, we might still be Jonahs because our attitude, our heart, is wrong. Ask yourself why you serve those with whom you have a relationship. Is it because you're acting out of love, or is it because you feel obliged to do so? Ask yourself why you serve in the church. Is it for the good of the community, or is it for your own honour and recognition? And why do you come to church or share the faith? Is it because you want to? Is it because you love God and love his people? Or is it out of fear that God might punish you if you don't? When we examine our actions and our attitudes honestly, we can usually find at least one example of how we are like Jonah. So what's the solution to our Jonah problem? If you've been following the reading, you might think that being like the people of Nineveh is the answer. And you would be right, up to a point. Repentance is part of the answer. The contrast in the reading is ironic, isn't it? Jonah was from God's people Israel. He was a prophet who knew God's will, and yet he refused to obey his God. Only after God's dramatic kidnapping did Jonah obey, and then only reluctantly. The Ninevites, on the other hand, were enemies of Israel. They were seriously wicked people. All they probably knew of the true God was from Jonah's short sermon, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And yet, as soon as the Ninevites heard the message, they responded, they repented, and they showed their change in attitude by fasting, putting on sackcloth and sitting in the dust, right from the king down to the animals themselves. And God forgave them. But not because their fasting and their sackcloth proved to God that the Ninevites were worthy of forgiveness. Rather, because it is in God's nature to forgive. As Jonah confessed in his little rant in chapter 4, God is a gracious and compassionate God, abounding in love. That's why, when the reformers wanted to correct the non-biblical penitential system of the medieval church, they described repentance like this from the Augsburg Confession. Now, strictly speaking, repentance consists of two parts. One part is contrition, that is, terrors striking the conscience through the knowledge of sin. The other part is faith, which is born of the gospel or the absolution, and believes that for Christ's sake, sins are forgiven. It comforts the conscience and delivers it from terror. Then good works are bound to follow, which are the fruit of repentance. So yes, repentance is part of the answer to our Jonah problem. But the full answer is repentance or contrition and faith. Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 1, repent and believe the gospel, believe the good news. Jesus even used Jonah as a sign to help us understand how good that news really is when he answered the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus was similar to Jonah, but greater, because he obeyed his heavenly Father perfectly in action and in attitude. His 3 days of voluntary suffering, death, and resurrection showed the lengths God is prepared to go to save his people. For after those 3 days, Jesus did not just bring life and forgiveness to a single city, but he brought life and forgiveness to the whole world, to all who hear and believe his message. Being sorry for sins is important, yes, but it is faith in God's forgiveness of our sins because of what Jesus has done that is the true motivator for lasting change. The law, the threat of God's punishment for our sins, can motivate us to change our actions, our behavior, but it is the gospel that actually changes our attitude, our hearts. And once our attitude is right, then right behavior, described by the Augsburg Confession as the fruit of repentance, will follow with the help of God's Holy Spirit. So what can this fruit of repentance look like in practice? Well, in the case of the pastors I mentioned earlier, God's love for them in Christ Jesus overcame their fears about what entering the ministry might mean for them and their families. Rather than going to seminary reluctantly or resentfully, they were eventually able to see it as a privilege and see how God could bless others through them. In a similar way, recognizing God's love for us helps us in our own Jonah moments. When we realize how much he has done for us, even to the point of sacrificing his own son for us, we are more ready to sacrifice our own needs for the sake of our loved ones. Or we are more motivated to serve altruistically in the church, gaining satisfaction from seeing how others benefit from our efforts rather than out of a desire for power or recognition. Or we are encouraged to risk rejection when telling others about God because, let's be honest, he's simply wonderful, and we want all people to be able to share in his goodness too. And when we fail, which we still do because we are not yet perfected, we know that we can repent. But our repentance is not just motivated by fear of God's punishment. We are also motivated by the assurance that God really does love us. And because he loves us, we love him. And we repent because we want our relationship disrupted by our sin to be restored again. And then we try to be obedient to God's will again, knowing that he knows best, knowing that he will help us to do what he asks of us, even when it appears impossible from a human point of view. Dear people loved by God, today I encourage you to ask yourself the question, am I a Jonah? And if you are, don't despair, but respond as Jonah's ancient audience did, with repentance. But don't repent out of fear of punishment or reluctantly, as Jonah did. Rather, repent out of love and allow God's love to grow in you, the fruit of repentance. Remember that our God is merciful, compassionate, and loving, and allow his goodness and love to motivate and empower you to obey him, both for your good and for the good of others. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.